Hello, this is Grant Edwards from Liberty NZ. Welcome along to the program. Well, today we've got nothing really new to report. I think we've still got Chris Hipkins, old Chippy, as our Prime Minister. Unelected, of course, Prime Minister. So was the last one, really. If the truth be known, of course, Winston Peters put her in the first time round, and then second time round, Many are saying it's electoral fraud. There seems to be all sorts of shenanigans going on with the globalists and their appointees that they've managed to post into positions of socialist governments throughout the world, like Trudeau, what's his name, Castro Jr., Macron, and others. Something rattling in the back there. Never mind. Sorry about that. So we're on the road today. Yes, I don't know really where to begin. Luxon, it seems, is a globalist. He's not coming out and saying that. He's brought up in a Roman Catholic family, so, you know, once a Catholic, always a Catholic, they say. However, he met his wife when he was 23 at a Christian youth group, a Protestant Christian youth group, or Baptist. The Baptists don't like to be called Protestants. They say that they never came out of the Roman Catholic Church like the Protestants did. Of course, the Protestants protested against the pretensions of the Roman Catholic system of religion. So, something rattling away in the back there. I'm sorry about the noise in the mobile studio today. So anyway, he's been to Baptists. As I was saying, they claim that they didn't come out of the Roman Catholic Church. They were never part of it. They were always, you know, on the outer from Rome and always persecuted, like the Anabaptists and the who's the ones in France that got a good hammering at that Saint Bartholomew Day massacre. What were they called now? I did know. I've forgotten. They were a Protestant group. I met a woman whose ancestors were, you know, her forebears were this particular group of Protestants in England. But then she ended up working for the United Nations, and so she's basically joined back to Rome again. Because I think, really, if you think about it, if you read the Bible, it tells us that the Antichrist, who really must be a Jew — people say that he's going to be something else, Syrian or something, but really he must be a Jew because he's a counterfeit. He's going to be the replacement Christ. People will worship him. People will think that he is Christ. But of course, he won't be Christ. He'll be the Antichrist. And he's referred to in the Bible and Revelations as the beast that came out of the sea. We can only assume that the many scholars that tell us, that ones that study prophecy, ones that, you know, make a good go of it. Anyway, apart from the cults, they believe, well, we believe, people that study prophecy and Bible chronology believe that the Antichrist will be a Jew. Barry Smith said that he will be a Jew. I say that he'll be a homosexual, non-practicing Jew, non-religious Jew. So he'll be interested in making money. I'd say that he will come from Europe, possibly France. They seem to be running the European Union at the moment, have done for decades. He may be part of the United Nations, but I don't think so. I think he'll probably be the ruler of whoever runs the Europe. Europe are looking for a world leader, for someone to lead them. They haven't really got a president. They're just a whole group of countries, the EU. They don't seem to be really, it's not really working. And it's very interesting because the Bible says in Daniel, it has a look, Daniel looked forward. It was actually Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and Daniel interpreted it. He said, you are the head, O king, a head of gold. And of course, we know that the Medes and the Persians, then they crushed the Babylonians, and then from then the Greeks came along, and of course that's a stronger metal. I think it was bronze for the Medo-Persians, and then the Greeks came along with their silver. Silver was tougher again, and then of course the Romans, they basically took over Greece, and of course we know that Rome was split up into two, which is symbolic of the two legs of this image that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of. and Daniel interpreted it, and the iron, which is the Iron Age, as we know, and then I think we're in this stage now, and it doesn't say ten countries, it says 10 kingdoms, and so I believe the hordes of Central Europe, they took all the wealth of Rome, which came all the way from Babylon, Medo Persia, down through Greece, and now into Rome. So we're at Rome with the two legs, and then of course the final stage of Rome, the revived Roman Empire, because all the wealth of Rome went into Europe when the hordes of Central Europe sacked Rome. All that wealth went to Europe, and so you will find that they don't get along. They've got strong countries like France and Germany and others, and then they've got the weaker ones, and so that's probably the miry clay and mixed with the iron, and of course the two don't go together, and that's what's happening. But a leader will come out of them, the Bible tells us in Daniel and also in Revelation. A leader, this little horn, he will be the Antichrist, a Jewish homosexual, who people will love. He'll come to power by bringing peace. So if people are wanting peace and are happy about this fellow, there must be war first. So war will be created, engineered, just like everything else at the moment's being engineered, from pretending that COVID's causing all the shortages and the war in Ukraine. But we know that it's all engineered to cause shortages. And then there will be wars. I think they want to have a war with Putin, and that'll all get a bit interesting. And of course, the Bible tells us that it will culminate in just north of Israel, in the northern part of Israel, called Megiddo, a big valley there that was where, Napoleon looked out over that battlefield and said, what a magnificent place for a battle. And of course, we know that the Bible tells us that this will be where the big final battle is, where the Antichrist will lead the NATO, the Western forces, and the Allied forces, which is us. Unfortunately, we're on the baddies team. So when we send our SAS troops and SIS troops, and well, we don't think we have SIS troops, do we? But we certainly have SAS troops, special forces, whatever you like to call them. When they go into Ukraine, they're actually on the side of the devil, because the Antichrist, who's going to take over the Western nations, the final world empire, the revived Roman Empire, and Klaus Schwab, he talks about the fourth industrial revolution. And really, all it is the Fourth Reich. That's what he thinks he's doing, because his father was a Nazi, and Klaus is a Nazi as well. And he's convinced all these socialists throughout the world that Nazism is the way to go, but he didn't call it Nazism. He doesn't know that that's what he's doing. But all the policies that Hitler was wanting to do, partnerships with big corporations, and there's a whole stream of other things. I could do a whole podcast on that. But it's pretty much right out of the textbook of Klaus Schwab. So that's Klaus Schwab. Nazi, father was a Nazi. And, people like Ardern and also her followers. Don't forget Hipkins and all those, and those people that say they're proud. I'm a proud socialist. I think it was McNulty, the chief whip, the government whip, who I think was really going to be running the things, not Mahuta, definitely not Mahuta, and definitely not Chris Hipkins. I don't think he's got the prime ministerial caliber. He's not of that ilk, and I mean that in a nice way, ilk. He's not of the caliber of a prime minister. Probably the ilk was the wrong word. Never mind. And so McNulty, I think, is the one that's going to be the one to watch. And I watched him in an interview with Jacinda Ardern, and he wasn't at all intimidated by her. And in fact, he was almost a bit offhand with her. And so I think he was always going to be one to watch. But I think he might just sit back and say, well, we'll just see how, we'll just let Hipkins lose it in the next election, which will be coming up a lot sooner than October the 14th, I think she said. A lot sooner than that, because it just will be. And I think even Winston Peters has hinted at that there'll be an election well before September the 14th. And so McNulty will be one to watch. So, but I don't think he'll be in this election. I think that Hipkins will make a mess of it, and then I think McNulty will make his run for the next election in 3 years' time. What will that be? 2026, I suppose. 2026. People are still wearing masks. I just looked over to my right, and a lady's sitting in the car texting at the lights. I don't even know if that's legal. I should stop texting now, but, mask wrapped under her chin. People are still wearing these jolly masks. It just goes to show you the mass formation. The complete and utter military-grade psychological warfare that was waged on us for over the last 3 years was always about getting some biological agent into our bodies. Against our will, they were going to do it come hell or high water. And it's disgraceful, but there we are. They've done it. They've done it, and they've proved to themselves that 90% of New Zealand is stupid, and that they can convince them to do anything they want. It was just a test run, really, the whole COVID thing. There'll be another worldwide disease, only this time people really will drop dead because they'll poison them somehow. And I suppose if they've got control of the water, they'll be able to do things like that, won't they? It'll be very easy if the central government have control of our water. That's nothing to do with Maori. Maori are just a pawn that the United Nations are using. They do it with every indigenous group. They use them to help destabilise a country. And that's exactly what's happening. And the real truth about the hospitals is that the reason why it's been completely engineered is because there's many, many doctors, a lot more than you would realise, doctors and nurses and health professionals, they didn't go back to work because they weren't going to be injected with a biological agent because they use their brain. They know that that's a very silly thing to do, that you can't test a brand new therapy. Even the old vaccines had at least about 10 years on them. This was less. There was 2 months human trials. 1 year they were testing this thing for on animals, and they all died. The rats all died, I think, the mice or whatever they used. They didn't do very well. So they weren't going to have a bar of it. So many of them took early retirement. Many of these doctors and nurses and other health professionals took early retirement. And what else did they do? The younger ones, some of them, stood up and said, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be a part of this. We are not going to have you inject a biological agent into our bodies against our will. And they said, well, then you can't come back to work. And the whole thing is about this mandate. They've kept the mandates on the doctors and the nurses. They have to wear masks and they have to be fully vaccinated and boosted. And doctors are dying. I think it was two young doctors in Auckland about 3 weeks ago, this month, died from either a heart attack or blood clots, a stroke or something like that. And people are dropping dead like flies, and they're covering up as fast as they can. But sooner or later, it'll catch up with them, and the truth always comes out. It'll catch up. But that's why we're having problems. That's why when you go to the hospital, you're waiting 15 hours, or you don't get seen at all. You just think, give up. And then you say, oh, unless you're just about ready to die. In fact, people are dying, waiting to be seen by doctors. And even that's been covered up. So it's not a happy place, and it's all engineered because doctors, they've kept the mandates on because they don't want doctors to come back to work. They want everything to fall apart. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy the economy, and they're trying to destroy the health system. And they've gone and set up a two-tiered thing with Maori, which is just a nonsense because Maori have never contributed anything towards the health. You know, you could fit all the doctors and nurses in a phone box in Te Kuiti. They haven't contributed at all. It was the descendants of European and British settlers that paid for all of the hospitals and all the new medical technologies. They all came, they didn't come from Maori, they came from British and European. And even Japan and China just copied the British and European. They copied Western technology. And so, but as I've said, it's all designed. Anyone that knows anything about what's going on with geopolitics knows that all the shortages in the world are all designed. There's no logical reason for there to be shortages apart from that with shipping. And the reason why there's shortages with shipping is because governments like ours purposely engineered and made it very difficult for ships to come in. And they thought, well, stuff it, we're not coming to New Zealand. Why would we come here when you've got all these silly rules and regs that we have to do? We'll just go somewhere else. We're not coming to your country. And that's why shipments were held up for 5 or 6 months. In my industry, I had to wait 6 months for a for the parts for a for a customer. 6 months. It should arrive in 6 weeks, not 6 months. And it was because the ships didn't want to come to New Zealand because of the crazy mandates, the crazy rules that they put on the shipping companies. They didn't want to have a bar of it. And so you've got to lobby your government, you've got to lobby your politicians, the mandates have got to come off. And Rodney Hyde came out about a week ago and came out with a very good letter, and I'd recommend that you go to Bassett, Brash and Hyde, BassettBrashandHyde.com. You could Google that and it'll come up, and there's a letter there by Rodney Hyde. He said that his vote is going to be a single issue vote, and he said that single issue voters he's never had much time for, because they seem to not realise that there's a lot more things involved in politics than just a single issue. But this issue, he said, these vaccine mandates and the deaths and the injuries caused by the vaccines, the fact that people that have been injured have just been left on a rubbish heap to rot without any help from the government or any government department, that's the issue that he wants. And he would vote for the party because he knows people that died as a result, direct result of the vaccine. And he said that he's going to be voting for that person that he knew that died from that vaccine. And it's not just one person. We all know someone that has been very badly affected by them. And if you don't know anyone, then you've got your head buried in the sand. And you know that the vaccines were never designed to stop transmission, and yet that was what we were told they would do. So go and read that report by Rodney Hyde. And if you don't like reading, I've got a podcast with it on. Here on my podcast, you can see it there. It's Rodney Hyde. Who is he? And he was a fantastic member of the National Party, and then he was a founding member of the ACT Party, Rodney Hyde. And he's a man that knows how to keep politicians honest. And so that's what we need. We need someone to run a select committee, someone like Rodney Hyde. And he said, if you go and read that article, he said that it needs to be public and transparent. And they need to go up and down the country interviewing all the doctors and nurses and all the people that had been injured and people, relatives that have lost people as a result of this vaccine, so-called, this gene therapy. And he said that it needs to be public, and the results need to be public. And I say, along with quite a few of my peers, that once we know who's culpable, then we need to start talking about the punishment before this, for this crime, this democide. Is that what you call it? Democide. It's not a genocide, it's a democide. It's a worldwide slaughter of innocent people. And we all know that the globalists, they want to reduce the world's population, and the vaccinologists. And the other good thing about COVID and the vaccines that's come out, well, there's not many good things about it, but here's one good thing. It's made us now question all of medicine. It's made us question all of epidemiology, virology, all of those things have been tested now. And instead of them being science, and instead of us accepting those as science, they're now proving to be pseudoscience. And there's not even really solid evidence that viruses have even been separated. People say they have, but when you question those people, they can't really show you even the process for isolating a virus. I say separate, but I mean isolating a virus. And you have to be able to isolate it, because what a lot of the scientists are saying, and doctors, great doctors, are saying, that it's not actually the virus that you're seeing through your electron microscope, or whatever you call it, microscopy. Kerry Mellis talked about that. He said Fauci wouldn't know what he was looking at. And so it's not actually a virus they're looking at. They think it's a virus, but it's really just the changes in the terrain. It's just what the body does. The cells start to change. They start to degrade. They start to become not at ease. They become diseased, not at ease. And so that's what you're looking at. And they're calling it viruses, different viruses. And so, but they haven't really been able to separate and, well, not the word, not separate, isolate a virus. No one's been able to prove that. They say they have, but when you really go, they use circular reasoning. And I'd recommend you go to Dr. Sam Bailey and Dr. Mark Bailey. Go to drsambailey.com, I think you'll find her. She was on YouTube until they chopped her off because she was saying things that the New Zealand government and the medical council didn't agree with, so they cut her off. That's what they do. Instead of listening to you, instead of saying, look, come, the Prime Minister wants to speak to you, you've come up, you're saying some things here that are really throwing a whole lot of questions on what we're doing, and we want to hear from you, because if we're doing it wrong, we need to know. And they could have had 5,000 doctors from New Zealand Doctors SOS.com. Make sure you don't go to .co.nz, it's a government shrill site. They could have had all those doctors, almost 5,000 doctors and nurses and health professionals, veterinary surgeons and the like, all against what the government's done, all against this vaccine rolling out as fast as it did. And the government could have said, well, okay, let's hear from you, Mr. Shelton, Dr. Matt Shelton, let's hear from you and the others, the great doctors. Instead of listening to Susie Wiles, the pink-haired beached whale, as John Hansel calls her, I think that's brilliant. Let's hear from the real people at the coalface, the people who are actually treating people. And the other really crazy thing is, if they were really seriously interested in stopping this so-called virus, which I don't believe exists, I'm convinced by the Baileys and others, Scoglio and some of the others that wrote Virus Mania. Now, that's a book you can get from Sam Bailey's website, Virus Mania by Dr. Sam Bailey. I've got it on Kindle and I'm reading my way through it. And even after just a few chapters, it was enough to convince me that viruses don't actually exist. It's just the terrain in the body. It's just the cells. And Beecham, Dr. Beecham, talked about this. Louis Pasteur came along, plagiarized Beecham's work, and came up with the germ theory. Germ theory around about I think it was about the early, it'd be the late 19th century, early 20th century, or Louis Pasteur had the cellular theory and the terrain theory. So that's the body itself has to be kept healthy, good food, good water, exercise, sunlight, all of those things. All of the things that doctors are not taught at medical school. All they're taught is to name the names of diseases, invented diseases, and drugs, the new drugs. They give them wild names to keep them busy. So they're so busy learning all the names of all these Latin and Greek words that they don't have time to really study the nature of disease, where the modality of disease, what really is disease. So that's that. All right, well, we've had a bit of a chin wag. So if you'd like to, we're going to start doing some Podbean podcasts. We're going to do them, they'll be recorded on Skype, but they'll be put out, they'll be streamed on through Skype, Skype and OBS, but they'll also be going out on live on Podbean. And so that if anyone listens to us on Podbean, you'll be able to look at the link on the Podbean link, and you'll be able to get a link to join us. If you've got something to say, you'll be able to join us on Skype, and that would be great to have you come and tell us about how it's been for you over the last 3 years, whether you knew anyone or know anyone that has been injured or killed by this vaccine, and what you see happening in New Zealand politics, and indeed even world politics. Do you think Biden will do another term? Who do you think will replace him? Do you think Trump will be go and have DeSantis as his running mate? The word is that they've already got an agreement, that DeSantis has agreed not to come up against Trump, but to run as his running mate, and that Trump will be the next president of the United States. And he should have been this president now. But in a way, it's probably good that he lost in 2020, because now he's had more time to get more experience so that he can actually empty this filthy, dirty swamp, which they keep talking about. The swamp that he wasn't able to do anything much with on his first term. So we'll end it there, because it's getting rather hot and my air conditioning's not doing the best up here in Northland, so I'll need to pull the window down, and if I do, you'll barely be able to hear me. So this is Grant Edwards signing off until next time, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. I think we're halfway through the week, aren't we? It's yes, Thursday very soon. And so just have a great end of your week, and a fabulous weekend, and we hope to see you again after the weekend. So all the very best, until next time.